And a good Saturday morning to you. Time once again where wine chat happens with our friend Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Good morning, Jack. Buonvenuto.
Buonvenuto. Grazie, mille grazie.
Farrell from Haskell's. Good morning, Jack. Buonvenuto.
Buonvenuto. Grazie, mille grazie.
I've been waiting 2 weeks to say that. Oh, my. How was your trip?
It was just absolutely wonderful. We caught fabulous weather. It only rained at night and one afternoon while we were traveling, so it didn't make much difference. But I can't believe a couple of things. Number one, the Italians ignore all laws. I mean, the laws are made for other people, not them. However, everybody wears a mask inside. Everybody. I mean, it's the most amazing thing ever. And to get in anywhere, even a restaurant, you had to show your vaccination card. That's so unlike the Italians, in my opinion, to be so orderly and do that. But then I think when you think about it, they got hit pretty hard at the beginning of this COVID pandemic. And I think maybe learned their lesson or whatever. But everybody, to a man, wears the mask and carries the vaccination card. It was just amazing to me. And you, like I said, you couldn't get in any buildings at all. If you went into a museum, winery, restaurant, wherever you went inside, you had to wear a mask until you sat at table. And then, of course, you could take the mask off to enjoy the food and that. But it was just a great trip. I spent about half of it up in Tuscany. In fact, today I'd like to talk a little bit about Chianti because of that. And we spent the other half in Rome. And like I said, it was fun to see. Nothing was very crowded. The weather was magnificent. And it was just a very, very eye-opening trip. Most of the places we went, we were the first people to come from the United States since the COVID thing. And we were treated, they rolled out the red carpet. Particularly at Castello Bonfi. They haven't had any visitors at Bonfi since the start of the pandemic, and we were the first ones. And it was just wonderful. John and his wife Pam flew over from Bermuda, where they have a home, just to greet us. And it's remarkable what they have done there. The Marinari family started Rianiti, and I don't know if you remember, Denny, Rianiti on Ice, Mighty Nice.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, they were selling millions of cases. In fact, they still sell about a million cases of that Rianiti a year in the United States. And what they did is they put all that money into buying the property near Montepulciano, and they have today the largest contiguous vineyard in all of Europe. It's over 7,000 acres. And it is the state of the art. I mean, people come from all over the world to see what they're doing there. Even the people from Coca-Cola came by to see their bottling line, if you can imagine such a thing, because they're so advanced. And I remember the grand opening of that place about 20, 30 years ago. I was invited, and we went over for that. And I said, what are you running here, an oil refinery or a winery? I mean, they had these huge stainless steel vats. I'd never seen that many in one place, etc. Well, they were very foresighted because, as I said, what happened, they took all that Rianiti money and left it in Italy and acquired these lands piecemeal. And one of their early partners was the former agricultural minister for Italy. So he helped them clear a lot of red tape away and things like that to actually acquire such a big parcel of land. And like I said, today the wines they make there are just absolutely top of the line. And their Chianti, to me, is one of the best there is. And that's what I thought I'd talk a little bit about today. Because Chianti is a remarkably versatile red wine, in my opinion. It goes with so many different things. Of course, it goes with most pasta dishes. Goes without saying you can have it with pizza. You can have it with a steak. You can have it with a chicken. You can have it with spaghetti bolognese, which is, generally wild boar sausage in that. And it's just a unique property. There's 18,000 acres of wine or vines under cultivation that can be called Chianti. And it's interesting. The earliest referral to the wines of Chianti is from Florence in about 1370 or something like that. One of the writers mentioned the Chianti Mountains and the wonderful wines that came from there. Cosimo de' Medici in the 17th century, actually the 18th century, 1715 or something like that, he's the one that pinpointed the areas that could produce Chianti. And, of course, after World War II, all those Americans who went over there, and the Italians loved to drink wine anyway, but brought home with them a passion for Chianti. And, matter of fact, one of Gallo's earliest products in the jug wine, and one of the most popular, was Paisano. And Paisano in Italian means friend, and it was based on a Chianti flavor. Chianti is pretty much all Sangiovese grape. Used to put white grapes, Malvasia, went into the manufacture of Chianti, but that has been slowly eradicated out. And today, to be called Chianti, you have to be at least 80% Sangiovese. And the like I say, the records on Chianti just make it a terrific wine to have any time. You see the Gallo Nero, the black rooster on the neck of the bottle, that's the original Chianti heartland, and only Chianti from that subzone can boast the black rooster. And the other is Chianti Reserva. Now, this is always going to be fairly expensive, Chianti, because the Reserva has to spend at least 30 months in wood. And so it's a much more complex wine than just there's Chianti, Chianti Classico, Chianti Classico Reserva. And those are the three main appellations or denomination that are used with the Chianti. And it's really marvelous. And, of course, that Chianti region, you know, it's called Tuscany. And it's called Tuscany because the Tuscans were there before the Romans. And they cultivated wine and had vineyards, etc. That's all been uprooted by the archaeologists, etc., to show us that, and the Romans planted vines there. So the place has a great tradition on wine. And another wine we'll talk about another time is the Brunello di Montepulciano, which is the kind of the very best wine, in my opinion, of Tuscany. And Tuscany also has what they call a super Tuscan. And what had happened in the late 60s in that, the people who grew Chianti were getting kind of annoyed that they had to follow this formula, and they wanted to maybe make Chianti out of 100% Sangiovese, or they wanted to experiment with some of the New World wines, Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot, etc., that had such a good following all over the world. And they created what was called a Super Tuscan. Sassicaia was the first one on the market, and it was a 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, and it just swept the market, and people loved it, and they were willing to pay a premium for it, et cetera, et cetera. And what had happened, of course, is you looked on the label, and it's Vina Tavola, table wine, because it wasn't complying with any of the appellations presently existing in that area, where the main thing is Chianti. And so these super Tuscans gathered a foothold, and people just, every winery now of any size makes a super Tuscan, where they experiment. It might be Merlot, it might be Syrah, it might be Cabernet Sauvignon, but it usually is very little Sangiovese, unless there's a little Sangiovese in the blend. But these super Tuscans are really remarkable wine, and just shows what the soil and the area around Tuscany can produce, and indeed does. And like I say, Chianti, a lot of you know, for many, many years, Chianti was kind of frowned on. It was one of those drinks that poor immigrant Italians had to drink. And they came in raffia wrap bottles, Frascati. And that's where they wrap the bottle in wicker. And if you're a certain age, you probably remember going into every Italian restaurant would have one of those wicker bottles and a candle stuck in it in the center of the table. Chianti at that time was regarded kind of like, I won't say contemptuously, but they just didn't think much of Chianti. Well, today, my hat's off to them. They produce, in my opinion, some of the finest red wines that are produced anywhere in the world in that Tuscan area. And while you can still get some of those Frascati bottles, usually they're produced basically for promotional things and not really to be taken too seriously. One of the reasons they put that wrapping on the bottle was bottles were very expensive at the time, and it was kind of the precursor to a thermos bottle. What they would do is go out in the back and take the big barrel and put the little Frascati underneath it, open the tap, fill the Frascati up with their regular house wine, put a cork in it, and drop it into the well where it would chill in that cold water in the well. And in the morning when they go out to work the fields, they would haul up that Frascati bottle that had been soaking in the well all night, take it out and set it on a rock or something. And, of course, during the day, that evaporation caused the wine to stay cool so that when you had your lunch, you had a cool, refreshing glass of wine to have with your lunch. And thus was the origin of Frascati. And then, like I say, it became a cute little gimmick that every Italian restaurant would put on the table with a candle in it. And, you know, that became associated with Chianti. So, excuse me, everybody knows about Chianti, but what you don't know is how really good it is. And like I say, if you want to try something, try one of these Reservas. Like I say, they're treated just like a very expensive Bordeaux or a real expensive Cabernet from California. They're just marvelous. And then there's the Super Tuscan, which, as I say, just by their price alone, command not only a high price, but people are willing to pay it because the wine is so very, very good. And, of course, visiting that area is a wonderful experience. The foods are just terrific. The scenery is breathtaking. You know, there are all these little hill towns all over Tuscany. And I'll tell you, you go into one, you can't wait till you go into another one because they're all just fascinating. A lot of history, beautiful plazas and churches and things like that. And during this COVID thing, in most of the plazas, they had musicians playing classical music, etc. And because of the way those plazas are built, the echoing around the plaza made for a very pleasant experience. And whether you were stopping to have a diet Coca-Cola or something like that, or you're having a Negroni or a glass of your favorite wine, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I was very, very glad to get back to Italy. It's been a long, long time since I've been there, or at least seemed like a long time because of this COVID thing. And other than Alitalia going out of business right after we left, the trip went flawlessly. And it was really, as I said, an eye-opening experience to see what's going on in the wine world in Tuscany. And I'm here to tell you that you want to try a couple of Chiantis. There's a great one called Villa Cafaggio that I used to have an interest in that I can't say enough nice things about. It's a great Chianti. And so there's your early morning report on Italy, Tuscany, and best of all, Chianti.
Oh, yes. Well, you can, and before we go, let's talk a little bit about Haskell's, where you can find these great wines.
Indeed. You know, the folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine, and they love to pair wine with food. And if you're going to have, whether it's Italian dinner or you're going to have a French dinner or you're just going to put burgers on the grill, stop in and tell them what you're going to cook, what you want to spend, and they'll marry up a wine that'll go perfectly with that, and best of all, it won't break the bank. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Our fall sale is ongoing right now, and let me tell you, there are some fabulous, fabulous buys out there. There's a Haskell's in Bloomington. There's one in Excelsior right at the dock. There's one down in Faribault off of 35. Our super cellar up in Maple Grove is not to be missed. 22,000 square feet off of 35. Our super cellar up in Maple Grove is not to be missed. 22,000 square feet of wines from around the world, plus your favorite liquors, beers, etc. There's Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis where we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's, Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and, of course, Woodbury. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com, and it'll take you right to our fall catalog where you'll find all sorts of fabulous values from the world of wine, spirits, beers, ciders, and even your favorite seltzers, all on sale during our fabulous fall sale.
Excellent. Jack, welcome back again, and let's do this next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
Jack Farrell from Haskell's.